I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Very quickly, think fast. How many people were in your graduating high school class, Sam? Go.
Like 500, 600? I don't know.
Okay.
262, and I know because I gave the commencement speech.
262. Wow. 125. I did not give a commencement speech. I was not invited to speak at all.
I'm going to go with 400.
But you probably already knew that, didn't you?
No, I'm just saying.
Why were you asked to give the commencement speech?
Because I was a speaker and they knew it. Even from a young, tender age, Scott, yes, I had words and I used them.
Did you tell them to excel and grab the world
by
the horns?
I actually quoted Ralph Waldo Emerson at the beginning of my speech.
Huh. Did you give him credit for stealing his words?
Yep.
Okay, good. Whatever it was in your graduating class, it was more than South Cameron High School's graduating class this year. In fact, today, because just one student will be getting a diploma from South
Cameron. One young girl. She's the cutest thing. She's it.
Mm-hmm. What state is this in? It doesn't say. Huh. It doesn't say what state this is.
I don't know. I read it last week and she said it allowed her to excel because everyone just focused on her.
Her name is Diana Lopez.
Yes.
Did she give the commencement speech?
I think she did.
What about the valedictorian
speech? She gave
speech?
It, Sam, and received it.
What about the summa cum laude speech?
She sat mostly in classes alone, except for the teacher,
sweetheart.
Of course, but did very well with a GPA of 4.0, which means she graduates summa cum laude. Really?
Do you think the teacher said, can I get a show of hands?
Show of hand.
You show again. Of hand. Okay. Any questions? Oh, you again.
She was both top and bottom of her class.
Yeah, though, depending on the way you look at it, Sam.
Next year's graduating class will have 14 seniors.
Oh.
But she will be the only one tonight.
By the way, Sunday marked 10 years since my high school graduation.
Did we go to a reunion of some sort?
I have not been invited to any sort of reunion.
You so and I will have our own reunion, Sam.
I have not been invited.
You've never gone back to a reunion?
I've never been to a high school reunion. I have never even gotten an invite.
Oh, you got Dana'd.
Yeah, he got Dana'd.
Hmm. By the way, how many years has it been since you were not invited to your high school reunion?
And which one? All the years.
So you still have never been invited?
I've never been. Well, I've just never been.
But have you ever been invited?
No.
Huh.
Topeka's a little bit of a trigger for me. I would not go.
You're not a proud
you would
Viking.
Not go
I would
back
not
to your high school reunion.
No, especially now that we know our high school was named for a Ku Klux Klan
Grand Wizard.
It's Exalted Cyclops. Please get it right.
Okay.
And the town refuses to change the name, which happens to be Seaman. No, I'm not going back there.
They knew back then. This isn't new knowledge.
There was a protest, Scott, last year.
I remember.
When two student journalists finally uncovered the proof in old, old articles 100 years ago that he was a regional recruiter for the Ku Klux Klan. There were then protests. Kerry went to one of them with a sign that said, like, it's time. Let's call this Topeka North. It's not like we're preserving a name like Robinson or Smith. Again, it's Seaman. It's time to go. Let's get rid of the name. There were people there with signs shouting, Seaman now, Seaman forever. I swear to you, I'm not going back to that town.
Did your dad go to Seaman High School as well?
Yes, my grandfather was the custodian.
And remember, we had your dad. Your dad was not in favor of changing the name, if I remember correctly.
He said, why not just, what does it matter? Well, it does matter. It does matter. Even if the guy's name happened to be Smith or Parks or Stevie, I would say, now that we know he was a recruiter over the entire Midwest region for the KKK. So, it's time to put this to bed and move on with right. another name. The fact that his name happens to be something that's been the butt of jokes for decades is just gasoline on an already flaming fire of dumpster.
So if they change the name from Seaman to Topeka North
yes.
or Smith High School, and they named it after some, you know, long-serving mayor. Who,
you know, when people ask me where I grew up, I say west of Lawrence.
Let me ask, hang on, let me ask my question, and then I want to come back to that for a minute. If they change the name to like Smith High School or Topeka North, would you go back or would it still be a trigger?
Probably not. No.
You didn't like high school.
I didn't. I just did not like really almost anything about that space. I don't know. It's I
did
don't
Carrie
know.
Go to Seaman?
Yes.
You guys were classmates.
Yes. She was a year below me. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got a good enough education there. Like, you know, it bothers me that we now know better, yet we refuse to do better.
That's fair. That's actually very well said.
And what is the mascot for Topeka High?
It's the Trojans, Sam.
So sometimes do the Trojans play yes. Seaman?
They do.
They blocked us on the football field, actually, and that was a headline. So again, I go back to why... Can we not just agree that it's an awful name? And, oh, by the way, he was a flaming racist. It's time to get rid of that awful name. And then you've got these idiots out there with signs fighting to keep that god-awful name.
When somebody asks you where you're from, you say west of Lawrence?
Yes.
Why don't you just say Topeka?
Because Topeka is west of Lawrence, and I'd rather just not get into it.
Well, San Francisco is west of Lawrence.
That is true, but I wasn't raised in San Francisco.
But if you were, would you say I'm from San Francisco?
Yeah, or if I was in like a town around that, I would say near.
San Francisco?
Yeah.
The wrong side of the tracks.
But because you're from Topeka,
uh-huh.
you say I grew up west of Lawrence.
West of Lawrence. It's worked out very well
east
for me.
East of Manhattan, west of Lawrence.
Narrows it down.
There's only like one town between
the cannot,
two.
You cannot argue with a straight face. That name should not be changed. You can't.
No, I can't.
There is not a single redeeming thing about the name of that school. We now know that. It's been proven. We now know that there is not a single redeemable thing about the name of that school. No one today even remembers Crazy McRacist Racist Guy. Like, it's not like he has kin that are still in town. They're like, no, that's my great-grandfather, and we loved being racist. There's no one that even exists that knows this guy. So there is literally no reason at all to keep that name.
Dana, I don't disagree with you. If this was like a president of the United States, I would even make the... But he also doubled as a exalted cyclops of the
yes.
KKK. I would still make the argument, yeah, I probably need to change that name. Now, can I tell you a joke that just came in on the text line?
I suppose.
Okay. It will be at your expense, but it's very funny.
Yes.
If Seaman High School was to be named after Dana, which of her many last names would we choose?
Nice.
That's fair.
Well played. Well played, my friend.
When we get back, I believe it was a town just west of here where someone had somebody very special to them that was found and then lost and then found. They will be calling into the hotline in 2 minutes with a special guest by the name of Sergio.
Sergio.
Sergio is very naughty.
Also coming up very soon.
Very naughty, Sergio.
The engagement we didn't ask for, but apparently we're going to get. Get ready to throw up in your own mouth.
Or at least she says so.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
So I don't know where we're headed here. But I do see that Sergio's mom, Wendy, is on the hotline. Hello, yeah. Wendy.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello, how are you guys?
Well, I'm so good. So I just want to let everyone know, I posted this from Lawrence the other day. The Lawrence Humane Stray Animals posted a beautiful photo. And I asked on my Facebook page, is anyone missing a peacock?
Oh.
And you replied.
Yeah, it was somebody, I think, from Baser, I don't know, community or something, had reposted it. And it's amazing how many people or messages I got from people. I had no idea who they were. I was receiving messages in my inbox going, is this your bird? Is this Sergio? And at that point, I didn't know. It didn't seem logical that he would be in Lawrence when we live in Linwood, closer to Bonner. So it was like, I guess anything's possible. But I'd also posted in the Nextdoor app here locally, and there were different spottings. So we knew he was in the area. But long story short, he was on four different farms before we finally were able to capture him after 2 weeks of
Sergio
craziness. The number of people that would check in with him was hilarious.
He's a peacock.
Yes, he is. He's an India blue.
Okay. I didn't know that there were more than one
he's
kind.
He's stunning.
Yes.
Why do you have a peacock? And not that it's a cool pet and all, but why do you have a peacock?
Because why not? I mean, it's just, we live on a little hobby farm. I've got all sorts of animals. And he was something I didn't have at that point in time. So we got one, and he'll eat from my hand. He won't like come up and jump up in your lap or anything,
okay.
But, you can hold him and love on him and, but then he's ready to get right back down and go do what he does.
Sort of like a cat.
Sort of, yeah.
He wants to come
only
to
with
you.
Really sharp claws.
Okay. so let's get back to the be on the lookout for Sergio. How did he get out?
He has free ranged for 5 years.
Oh.
Our neighbor, he likes, they can always tell when it's going to rain because Sergio will end up in their barn. But he's never left our two properties until this year. We had an incident last year where we thought he was off the property, but it was another, a stray peacock.
How many are running around in Linwood?
That's a funny story. If you want me to tell it
please.
I got a message. I received a couple of texts from neighbors up the road saying Sergio's in our yard. Just FYI. And we were both kind of shocked because he's never ventured that far up the road. And then one of our neighbors texted and she's like, hey, Sergio was just on our back deck, but a couple of dogs have gotten to him and we can't find him now.
Hold your story. Do I hear him in the background?
No, that's roosters.
Oh.
No, you would hear him. I'm sitting right here by him. You would hear him.
That's not my peacock. That's my rooster. Carry on.
And so, long story short, we're looking for Sergio, panicked. A neighbor finds him, gets the two dogs off him. Bring him home and swinging him and sad, obviously, because he's not doing well. He's stressed and he's bleeding. And as I'm holding him, Sergio comes walking around our barn. Who the hell are you holding, Mom?
Now, I have heard that peacocks can be rather aggressive. Is that true or false?
They totally can be, yes. Sergio's a little bougie. He's not aggressive. He's never shown aggressive. I mean, he comes up on the front porch, the back porch, looking for his treats. I mean,
is he still free range now that he's broken loose like someone, I don't know, in New Orleans?
And can we do the rest of the, and Wendy, can we do the rest of this interview outside next to the rooster, please?
No, I want to hear from Sergio.
Sergio doesn't talk.
He's right here next to me. I wish I could get him to talk. sometimes I can. Dana, I sent you a video of when he was on our porch one day, because he'll scare the heck out of you. You never know when he's going to call out, and he's very loud. You can hear him all the way up the road.
Is it the last video you sent or the second one? You sent a bunch of them.
The one where he's sitting on a chair, okay, on a rocker.
Wait a minute.
Like a
here,
cat.
Listen.
Sergio.
Wow, it does. It sounds like a cat.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of the things after I got him that we read. It's like your neighbors may be alarmed because it also sounds like a female yelling for help. So, but right now, back to your question of is he still free ranging? No, he is. We have put him in a pen for now, trying to get his two ladies in with him. And
just
keeping him. Reminding him
Sergio
of where
is polyamorous, apparently.
Yes, he is. He's a handsome guy. You know, he needs some good looking ladies.
Can they fly?
Somewhat. I mean, he'll fly from our back deck into the pasture, and they roost up in the trees, so he'll fly up into a tree. But his span, when his train is in full bloom and he goes to display, it's a good 9 to 10 feet wide and a good probably 5 to 6 feet tall, so of all of his feathers.
Are peacocks,
and they lose that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, they lose those feathers every year. He'll shed all of these and then regrow them in the spring in time for mating season.
So
again,
are peacocks kind of like cardinals, where the more beautiful they are, the more male they are?
Yes. I mean, the males are definitely more vivid colors. They are the only ones that grow the trains. The females, the hens, don't grow the long trains.
Hmm. But are they still of the same kind of feather patterns?
Some. I mean, one of our females, she's all white. And so there's all white peacocks. There's purples. Not a bright shade of purple, but different. There's so many colors, cameos. And
I had no idea. When she sent me a photo, Scott, of is it her name, Penelope? She has a white,
yes,
peacock. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
Yeah, she's a peahen. So just like a rooster and a hen, you've got peacocks and peahens.
Oh, got it.
We don't need to get into that. We got that part figured out.
Easy enough to figure out.
Yeah, thanks. Are they expensive?
Yes. I mean, for like a chicken, we've got chickens. You can buy a chicken chick or a little chick for nowadays $5 to $7. And the females, for instance, I bought them last year, and I mean, not crazy, but $150 a piece
for a peahen
when they're little. Yes. Huh. Peacock his size right now is probably $400 or $500.
Wow. And where real quick, cause we're short on time here, but where would one go to buy a peacock?
There's a place north of here called Legs, LEGGS, PFOW, and then just different farms. The two peahens that I have came from a farm off down by Fort Scott.
Hello there, friend.
Yes. Yes.
I love him.
He's very handsome.
You tell Sergio he's very naughty and he cannot be free range if he's going to be naughty and go all complete free range on you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, Wendy, thank you for your time. This has been fascinating. I never thought in my illustrious journalism career I would do an interview about peacocks and now peahens.
Yes. Well, there you go.
Be
always
well.
Something new.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
All right,
bye-bye.
Be well. Bye-bye.
For the record, I asked her to bring Sergio into the studio, and she said that when he gets nervous, he poops everywhere.
He and I have something in common.
And so I talked to Sam and I said, you know, what if we put down a towel? And Sam said, no.
Very, very short, one syllable answer.
Sam, I'm proud of you. You made the right decision. You really did, buddy. All right, quick break. Dana Ride, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to the story about the engagement of the century, this story from Channel 41, a woman is facing charges of felony arson after allegedly using accelerant to burn a coworker's house in the Westwood Hills neighborhood.
In Westwood Hills.
Very cute, very expensive.
Crime homes. Rate generally zero.
It says here on May 9th at around 6 p.m., Westwood police officers were dispatched to a reported structure fire at a residence on West 50th Street.
It's near State Line and Glendale Road. Mm-hmm. I think High Hat Coffee. That's Westwood.
Yeah. Authorities say a nearby neighbor had noticed flames coming from the home. They called 911. The owner of the residence, who was not home at the time, reviewed security footage, gave it over to police. The video showed a woman carrying a glass bottle stepping out of a car, which had pulled into the homeowner's driveway, mm-hmm. then poured the liquid from the bottle around one of the home's windows, a pile of bricks, and some trash.
And lit it on fire.
She is now in custody, identified as Layden Princess Richardson, a former co-worker of the homeowner.
Okay, so follow me here. Westwood police believe she used gasoline, poured gasoline under this woman's window, and then lit it on fire. The home became, quote, engulfed in flames. Mm. The video footage then shows her get back into the car and leave the scene. Okay.
Oh, by the way, male coworker.
Oh.
Yeah. I think we can draw some dots here. Between some dots here.
In the first story.
But we don't know anything. Well,
obviously, we don't know. I didn't suggest anything.
All right.
Listen to this. through the surveillance footage, the homeowner identified the woman, a former coworker.
Yep.
Oh, we're sticking with this story, Scott. A former coworker who police said had been awaiting trial on four prior incidents and charges of property damage and stalking in Westwood Hills.
Police said they recognized her in the video because they've had a lot of contact with her in the past.
So either there's a number of homes within this very, very small community for which she has allegedly targeted.
It's been the same. Wow. Home,
I think Westwood Hills is like
male coworker.
Population 500 or something. Let me look that up.
Very small.
Okay. And an adorable little community.
I love it. Yeah.
Adorable.
Okay. There's so much to unpeel here. She was awaiting trial on four other incidents of property damage and stalking.
Yeah. Westwood Hills, by the way, population 400.
She is being held on a $35,000 bond. This is the stuff that nightmares are made of. Let's mm-hmm. be honest, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest.
I know where you live.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam.
And I'm going to find you.
And I'm going to torch this. By the way, the fire got all the way inside. The damage
was fully engulfed,
interior
right?
and exterior, fully engulfed.
Oh, I'm sure.
She could have killed him.
He wasn't home.
She didn't know that.
How many other people live in that home?
Bingo. This is so scary beyond even restraining order, which I'm sure he already had. Let's be honest.
Well, he was in the works.
If you're in court awaiting four charges in a town of 400 people, she ain't going around stalking you because you've got that zip code. This is likely going to be the same victim.
But we don't know that.
We don't know. Well,
it's.
I mean, she's got some vendetta against Westwoodians. Bizarre Westwoodian.
Westwood Hillites.
Vengeance with this woman.
Malayans? What is the term for the
that
plural?
Is crazy.
Yes, it is. And her mugshot, I would also say bears that out.
She got that.
I was just
what
gonna,
is he going
I was
to
just
do?
Gonna say that. The
at the
look
point
in her
that someone
eyes
is
says,
trying to boop, boop. Scott, at the point that someone is trying to left eye Lopez your house.
Okay.
What do you do?
Lisa left eye Lopez.
You get a restraining order.
That's not worth the paper it's written on if somebody is intent on killing you.
I understand. We don't know why she wanted to burn down this person's house.
Or the origin of the other four stalking and harassment charges. Okay.
Correct on all. That is correct.
And property damage.
Why am I so nervous talking about this story?
Because it's always a man stalking a woman. And this is the more rare counterpart.
Yeah, is it?
Where she is fatal attraction, dead rabbit in the pot, on the stove, this guy.
You remember the story out of Alaska? We play the clip every Friday before Festivus Friday.
Happy Friday, you...
Yeah.
Well, that was a woman who was, what was the town the guy was the mayor of?
He was the mayor. She was a high-profile news anchor and TV reporter. And they were allegedly...
Wait. I want to be very clear. I want to separate the line here.
Yes.
In that story out of Alaska...
Correct.
The mayor and the reporter had engaged in a relationship.
In no way are we comparing this to the current story.
Correct.
This is a separate story.
That's right.
But in Alaska.
That's right. And then he tried to break it off.
He did.
And she wasn't having it.
She wasn't.
And
left him a 4-minute long voicemail about, do you blanking know who I am? You're going to rue this blanking day. I hope you have a great Friday, you mother. Yeah.
Correct.
Different story.
Totally different story.
Very.
Very different.
I mean, it's on an island.
Do you just move? I'm being honest.
Well, Dana,
do you just move at that point?
Move to what?
I don't
move
know. A house that's not on fire, Scott?
Well, he's moving now.
Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, can you imagine?
If somebody...
That you have to pick up the phone and call your mother and say, all right, here's the deal. I work with this woman. Whatever. You know, this might not even be the fatal attraction. This could be he borrowed her stapler.
This could be he's the boss because he obviously has a very nice house. He fired her.
It could be anything. Now, I think your mind traditionally goes to.
No, we're not alluding.
Mine doesn't.
It could be anything.
Mine doesn't. My mind went to she's clearly upset with him.
For some reason that we don't know.
That's right. One can only...
She's a huge fan of the Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Clearly.
Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. Andre.
And he's been Andre Risen.
I agree with you, Scott. Why am I so nervous right now?
Because... because I like my house. I don't want her to make Bond.
Stop. So the wedding of the century.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's get to that now.
Or millennia. Or
speaking of crazy.
Whatever.
Okay. Apparently, Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson's relationship has taken yet another turn as reports are suggesting that the couple are due to get married. According to The Athletic, Hudson has informed at least one person in her inner circle that she and Belichick are engaged to be married. Interesting. He's 73. She is 24. They met when she was 22. She's been acting as a sort of PR manager for him of late.
There's a great article in the New York Times about this today, and I don't know why I can't not read about this story, and I don't know why. I'm just going to tell you.
Because it's a train wreck.
I don't know. It is like watching a train crash in real time, and you can't look away. And the New York Times article, you know, gets into her positioning herself in a very savvy way, trying to trademark some of his phrases, trying to...
What are his phrases?
Instead of Chapel Hill, she is trying to trademark Chapel Bill.
No.
All right.
Well, you guys laugh. She comes from very humble means, daughter of a fisherman.
She's from Maine.
Yes, but very, very, very small town. Was in cosmetology school after high school when she met him on an airplane.
We're not going to talk about that.
She studied philosophy. She did not graduate. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Met him on an airplane, and here we are. And so, is he being taken advantage of?
Yes.
What people pointed out in this article was that Bill Belichick, for those who are closest to him, is in control of every single aspect of his life. Every I that is dotted, every T that is crossed, does not do so without his permission, full knowledge, and know-how, right? And that for some reason, this has now flipped that scenario on its head. And she seems to be in charge in a way that people who know him say is
they're concerned.
Shocking.
Charles Barkley apparently is a good friend of his.
And is worried for him.
And has said he is concerned. Yes. And if you missed the interview that Bill Belichick did the other day with Good Morning America and Michael Strahan, don't even bother to YouTube it. Michael Strahan is a brilliant football player. But as a journalist, he sucks. Mm. It was terrible.
By the way, Bill has, since all of the rumors came out that UNC allegedly banned her from the football facilities, Bill has been a very aggressive defender of the idea that she is in no way involved with the football program at UNC, which is a stark difference from what we had prior, where she was demanding to be looped in on all of the communications, blew up the Hard Knocks deal. I mean, we saw those emails.
I hope, and I know he has some kids because one of them is his assistant at North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. I hope for the sake of his children and grandchildren, of which she could almost qualify as a grandchild of age.
She is younger than his grandchildren.
That is so disgusting. I hope that he has set up his will or whatever in a way that protects them as much as it protects her. Because at 24... I mean, let's be honest. There are a lot less days in front of the horse and riding in the back of the cart for Bill Belichick. And she's going to live another 50, 60 years, and she could do so very comfortably just off the money that he's earned in his lifetime.
Oh, pardon me. He didn't have kids until his 30s, so he does not have grandchildren older than her.
Okay. 913-586. The last two stories have made me very uncomfortable, and I don't know why. 913-586-7798, 586.
I am pro-Westwoodian.
Well, I too am a very, very staunch supporter of the Westwoodites.
Anti-arson.
We are anti-arson.
Very much so on this program.
586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Jeez Louise.
What you do to me?
Physicians have seen an increase in both cannabis use disorder and cannabis-induced psychosis.
Did you read this story? It's making people crazy.
Amid continued conversations about legalizing cannabis in places like Pennsylvania, comes new research suggesting a potential brain pathway involved in cannabis use disorder and psychosis. It's one of the first studies to suggest a specific brain pathway.
So let me break this down because I read the whole story on this and I sent it to friends of mine. It does not mean that you are a pot user, you're going to have psychosis at all. Some people, for some reason, when they use it, especially over prolonged use, it carves some pathway in your brain that makes you crazy. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It is psychosis, Scott. Paranoia, delusions, disorganized thinking, and hallucinations. And I don't know that they know why smoker or user A have this happen, and smoker or user B, you know, like the old hippies back in the 70s, you know, it was different back then than the product is now, is what I've heard. It's not my thing. I don't judge if it's your thing. I prefer you not do it while you're driving or in an elevator. It's not my thing. But I do think there's stuff out there today that maybe we don't even know what it is we're ingesting. And maybe that's part of the issue.
Do they specify that the psychosis is experienced, you know, within 30 minutes of smoking or within 6 hours or eight days? Because if it's within 30 minutes, isn't that kind of the whole goal?
Or does it just make you crazy, like, even when you're not on it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Studies have shown since 2019... we have seen an increase of emergency room visits across the country for cannabis-induced psychosis. California woman avoided prison time last week for fatally stabbing her boyfriend during what prosecutors called an episode of cannabis-induced psychosis. Questions have been raised about the connection between marijuana and mental illness. Psychosis refers to a collection of symptoms that affect the mind, where there has been some loss of contact with reality. During an episode, a person's thoughts and perceptions are disrupted, and they may have difficulty recognizing what is real and what is not.
But to Sam's point, isn't that the point for doing that?
No.
You're trying to alter reality.
Well, you're trying to alter maybe your mood or your state of mind.
Which is part of your reality.
I don't think anyone thinks I'm going to do this to relax or to sleep better, and you end up, I don't know, thinking you're seeing dinosaurs in the sky. Or I don't know what psychosis is. Thank God I've never been through it.
I mean, you don't typically drink a bunch of alcohol to run away from the effects of feeling drunk.
No. You drink a lot of alcohol to get drunk.
Right. I guess I'm just confused on the timeline here. Because, yeah, if you're still in psychosis like 6 weeks after smoking, we've got concerns.
And Blue Springs has approved backyard chickens. Up to 6 hens or ducks will be allowed per property. Only for non-commercial use, and owners cannot breed their hens or ducks. Must be kept in the backyard.
That means no roosters.
What if it's
no roosters? That's
what if
right.
It's a peacock.
Going to be a weird looking hen.
And then they also specify if you want a chicken in Blue Springs, they specify the certain sizes or check that the sizes of your chicken coop. And this goes into effect in September, Blue Springs. They're more work than they're worth. Keep that in mind. News is coming up next in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.